These griefs and sorrows are because we are dealing with a holy God who so hates sin that he cannot excuse it. He must judge it. And it is God's judgment upon sin that causes sin to be filled with grief and sorrow. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Notice that word stricken. The same term is used in Isaiah 53, that he was stricken for us, smitten and stricken of God. And here is this word stricken. We ought to be judged for our sins. The sword of God's wrath ought to fall upon us because we are the bearers of such grief and sorrows. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and as we draw near to the Easter season, we want to go to the cross. And there is no better chapter in God's Word than the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, where we have the Old Testament prophecy in such a clear, precise manner revealed to God's people hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus even came into the world, or before he even died on that cruel cross at Calvary. So I want to read with you these verses in Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. We're so thankful for the opportunity to preach this gospel of the Lord Jesus. Did you know that there are Jews who are not allowed to read Isaiah 53? Even though this is the, well, because it is the clearest passage in the Old Testament referring to Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah, the covenant Redeemer that God promised to his Old Testament people. And yet we have this gospel, we have it in our hands, and we need to have it in our hearts. And I pray that today that your heart will be open to receive the message of salvation by the death of the Lord Jesus. Redemption is not magic, but it is the application of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus to bring you out from under the guilt of sin and into peace with God. And today's message is very much about enjoying the peace that flows from the cross. And on that cross, Christ purchased our peace. He opened the way that we can have fellowship with God on the basis of his precious shed blood. And I pray that God will open your heart and mind to receive these things. So let's just bow in prayer a moment. Father, we thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for the opportunity to speak on the airwaves today. And I pray that each hearer will have a heart that is opened, a mind that is receptive, and that today the seed of the gospel will be planted deeply in hearts to bring forth real gospel fruit. Lord, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus brings peace to troubled sinners' hearts. And I pray today for that peace to be bestowed and to become the blessing of every hearer. Oh, Father, do this for your own name's sake. Do it for Jesus' sake. Do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. And grant, Lord, you will bless your people and save the lost today. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Back to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're looking today at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I want to take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane that we read earlier there in Matthew 26. Because there, as I mentioned, the battle for souls really began in the garden. In that place, at first, no sword had been raised against the Lord. No soldier had tried to arrest him, and no enemy stood to accuse him. But yet in Gethsemane, all hell broke out against the Son of God on that eve of his arrest. In that lonely place where the Lord left his disciples and called upon them to pray, and he went a little further, we're told that his soul began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He even confessed it to those three disciples, Peter, James, and John. He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And in that hour, those three select disciples, even they could not enter into the sorrows of our Lord. They went to sleep, and the Lord Jesus went to suffer right there in that garden. His soul was sorrowful because there was a net of treachery working for his arrest and soon to cause his death. In the background, in the city of Jerusalem, the feet of a marching mob could be heard. They were being led by religious clerics, and they were leading a mob with their sticks and their staves as they would come to arrest the Lord Jesus. Judas was to unleash what is really the world's greatest and most evil act of treachery, when he would head the mob, walk up to the Lord Jesus, and point him out with a kiss of treachery. However, knowing that the treachery behind Judas would be kiss, Jesus stepped forth and he rebuked Judas with these words, "Judas, betrayest thou me, the Son of Man, with a kiss?" Now, the arrest of our Lord, which followed, is really pathetic. When that mob came forward to lay hands on the Lord Jesus, and the Lord quoted the words, "I am he," the Lord zapped all of those men in the mob and they fell in a heap. And the Lord demonstrated that no man made of the dust could arrest the creator of the world that stood before them. And yet, after the Lord had bartered for the freedom of the disciples that they should be let go, the Lord voluntarily complied to be arrested and led subsequently to his death. Why did the Lord Jesus hand himself over to his enemies? Why did he go silently as a lamb to the slaughter? Well, we learn here in Isaiah 53, and I want to bring you to this text. And I want you to have your Bible open and your eyes on these words in the middle of verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And I want you to notice those words, our peace was upon him. Do you see those words? In the middle of Isaiah 53, verse 5, our peace was upon him. Now, Isaiah speaks of that as an accomplished peace. He had it. And every believer in the Old Testament had that peace, which the Lord Jesus purchased at the cross. It is peace that all men need to have if they're to be right with God and to be sure of heaven. And of course, we know that our Lord Jesus went to the cross that he might reconcile, make atonement by his death, his sacrifice, to work peace. He was the world's peacemaker, reconciling God who was offended by our sin and the craving of the human heart to be at rest with God. And the Lord Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, I want to give you my preaching outline because I want you to know where we're going here today in this text and in this subject. I want you to, first of all, follow me with our peace affirmed in the text. I want really us to dig in and get it into our hearts and minds that this is our peace. It's ours. That's the wonder of it. And then I want us to dig in and see that this is our peace accomplished at the cross. And lastly, it is applied by saving faith. If we do those three things here in the next little while, I trust you'll go home with a happy heart. I trust you'll go home saying, boy, I'm glad I went to church today and discovered those things in the Bible. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a great gospel we have. I don't want you going home and saying, what a strange preacher we have. I want you to have what a wonderful Savior we have. So let's begin with our peace affirmed in this text. It's quite amazing that Jesus' name doesn't come up in this chapter. Never mind the text, it doesn't come up in the whole chapter. And there is a very important use of pronouns. He and our. It's him and us. And the name of the Redeemer does not appear. And it all goes back to chapter 52, verse 12, where the Lord Jesus is referred to as a servant. Verse 13, chapter 52, 13, behold my servant. And from then on, it's always referred to as he or him, his death. He hath borne our griefs. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now, Philip the evangelist, when he was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, he cleared the whole matter up because the Ethiopian eunuch, he asked, who is this that the prophet writes about? Who is this person? And we're told in Acts chapter 8 that Philip preached unto him Jesus. And then it made sense. He could begin to understand. And of course, with the recent history of what took place in Jerusalem, where this miracle worker, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man who did miracles and preached sermons all over Judea and Galilee, and then was crucified. In the light of that history and that recent event, it made sense that this was about the Lord Jesus. And of course, he was about to make peace. He went to that cross to make peace for us. Now, when Jesus was in heaven, he had perfect peace with his Father. He did not need to make peace in heaven. There was perfect harmony between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when he looked down upon this world, he saw a world at war. War with God, the consequence of sin. Man in revolt, man in rebellion to God. And God sent his Son down into the world to make peace with men. That those who were rebellious and having broken the law and guilty of sin, that they would be made right with God. And so now there is a way back to the Father. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, this peace is affirmed by the repeated emphasis on the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus. And over again in these verses, it is pointed out that he died for our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, never his own. The chastisement of our peace, the requirements, the legal demands of the law to bring us peace, the Lord bore to purchase. And so the Lord Jesus never protested this act of being led to the cross. And that's why I wanted to fill our minds with what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's why, though the Lord demonstrated he had all power to resist arrest, yet he handed himself over willingly, quietly, complying with the whole arrest that he might be crucified. Because the Lord Jesus was going to make peace and to purchase that peace for us. Peace is affirmed also by the accuracy of the terms related to Christ's sufferings. When you read these words that he was wounded for our transgressions, and that could be translated, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. And then you get the news of the one who was crucified at Calvary, where the nails were driven through the palms of his hands, where the blood streamed from that brow crowned with Calvary thorns, the hands, the feet, the side riven, pierced, and his blood pouring out. Each word is descriptive of Jesus' death. That he was bruised. Well, we get that again in chapter 53, verse 10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the bruising, therefore, refers to what God did to his Son. Bruise means the crushing weight. That is, when God the Father made Jesus to be sin, he made him to be a mass of sin, the sin bearer of his people. And the crushing weight of your sin and my sin and the sins of all the elect and of all who would ever be saved, that crushing weight of the guilt of human sin upon the Savior bruised him. How accurate the wording right here in this. And then the stripes that are mentioned. And I think our mind would go to the flagellation that our Lord endured in Pilate's judgment hall, when those men of war stripped him and flogged him in flagellation. The Jewish law said that they could only administer no more than 39 stripes. But the Roman law had no limit. And they had the art of flogging a man with the whip until they could take him to the very edge of death and then back again. And when his body was ready to expire and his heart was pumping nigh its last, they would relinquish the flogging and resuscitate him to life and then again bring that nigh death, near execution through stripes. And Isaiah has every word right here in this text. And so therefore, when he uses the word peace, it's a specific word. It's an accurate word. It's the right word. Because when Jesus was on that cross and when he's enduring that suffering, it was for our peace. And so we have peace affirmed, right in this very text. Let that rejoice your heart. Let that rejoice your heart that the Son of God did not go to the cross in waste. He did not go purposelessly. He went to purchase our peace. It is affirmed right here in this text. That's what Jesus went to do, to purchase peace for you and for all who will believe. And so we have peace affirmed. Then we move on to peace accomplished. What a wonderful thing that it was accomplished. Did you know that Jesus is called in the Bible the Prince of Peace? Right in Isaiah 9:6, we usually preach that text at Christmas time when we refer to Jesus' birth, but he was to be the Prince of Peace. Now, you know that he did not make political peace in this world between warring nations. He made peace between God and men. He made peace by his blood at the cross. He was the Prince of Peace. Also, the plan that was between the Father and the Son is called in Isaiah again, the covenant of peace. Here's peace affirmed, peace accomplished. Between God the Father, God the Son, they came up with a plan that our Lord Jesus would bear the sins of his people in his own body, even unto death, that God's justice would be satisfied, and sinners are declared righteous on a righteous, godly basis. Wonderful, wonderful affirmation. Now, peace accomplished. I think you are aware that at Calvary that day when our Lord died, he cried out, "It is finished." It's accomplished. It's not a plan that went haywire. It's not a plan that got hacked somehow and sidetracked. But on that cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." The offering he rendered to God the Father was enough. Totally, absolutely, perfectly enough. Theologians talk about Jesus on that cross offering satisfaction to God. Full payment. Jesus satisfied every demand of the law. They also talk about propitiation. That means turning away God's wrath. God's anger is removed, that his face now is beaming in love to those for whom Christ died on that very cross.
We may sound the depths of all the mighty oceans. We may tell the distance to the farthest star. But the mighty love of God cannot be measured. Its dimensions are so high, so deep, so far. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love revealed in Christ my Lord divine. When on the tree he died for me, God's wondrous, glorious, mighty love, this love is mine. I behold his love in every golden sunset. I can see it in the beauty of a flower, and I feel it in my heart since Jesus touched me and redeemed me by his wonder-working power.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gollaher. And I pray that the gospel message is entering your heart. This is like seed falling on the good ground to receive the good news that God sent his Son to be your Savior, to take your punishment, and to bring peace, the gospel peace that God provides into your own heart and life. And if you recognize that because of sin, that you are at war with God, there is a way of peace by turning, receiving the Lord as your Savior, and to acknowledge that on the cross, Jesus accomplished peace for you. And we have noted these terms, that he is our peace, that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Now, for the Lord Jesus on that cross, he endured wrath, suffering, bruising, and all the affliction that was meted out to him. But he was accomplishing peace for us, because after all, he is the Prince of Peace, not between earthly realms, but between God and men. And if you have Jesus as your Savior, you have peace with God. If you do not have Jesus as your Savior, you have no peace with God. You cannot know God's peace apart from the Lord Jesus, because that's the way it comes. That's the way it was purchased. That's the way Jesus laid down his life as he suffered on the cross. He was fulfilling every aspect of what is called the covenant of peace. Now, a covenant is simply an agreement between two parties. And God has agreed that he will accept the offering of a son to purchase peace for his people. And that covenant of peace is the gospel, the good news that a sinner can be right with a holy God, that we can dwell with God for all eternity on the basis of the peace purchased at Calvary. And so I want you just to pause a moment to think on the Savior dying on that cross, offering up his body, enduring sufferings, both physical and spiritual, and to recognize that he was enduring it all to purchase your peace, and that by faith in his death, you may enjoy God's peace within your heart and within your soul. That's the promise of the gospel. And if you feel that you are at war with God, that you have no peace, then today come, believe the gospel, and be gloriously saved.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.